Hi, I'm Jingle Jared. In my former occupation, I was the biggest jingle writer of all time. Now, I'm looking for a new job, speaking to every entrepreneur that I can find so I can find out what it's like to transition from one career to another. All of this expert advice has become the bedrock for a podcast I'm calling Occupational Therapy. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In Lauren Lake's courtroom, there is no nonsense.
Self-aware when you have
but I'm saying I'm a lady. Right?
Don't talk when I'm talking.
Just results.
Mr. Jackson, you are the father. Live it, own it, be it. You see it?
Listen to Lauren Lake's Paternity Court on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lips LA. Hey guys, welcome to the show. It's Scott Lips, and this is another amazing action-packed version of episode of Lip Service. Today on the show, we have Mr. Alex Iono. I constantly pronounce his name wrong, so I want to make sure I get it right today. He's an American singer, producer, YouTuber, and actor from Phoenix, Arizona. He's known for his videos on YouTube, which have amassed over 981 million views. And he has about 6 million followers on YouTube, which is a crazy amount of people. Alex is an amazing guy. We just had him in here. He did some amazing performances. I think you guys are going to really enjoy this episode. One of the first times we've actually done some live performances on the show, which is great. It's around the holiday time, so we talked a little bit about his life, about how he started his career, how he ended up from busking in Santa Monica to amassing almost a billion views on YouTube to where he's at. He's got a movie coming out. He's got major songs. He's known also for the mashup. So we did some great versions of songs that you'll be hearing in just a moment. And coming to you live from WeWork, here we are. And just in a moment, Mr. Alex Iono.
You're listening to Lips LA with Scott Lips.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. It's Lip Service. And welcome back to another episode. Super excited today with Alex Iono. Did
that
I get it right?
Iono.
Iono.
We're close, you know, but it's better than the first tries of most.
You know, we spoke about it for at least 2 minutes, and Alex is an OG singer, songwriter, YouTuber. He is a sensation, and we'll get into everything Alex-related. But Alex, Thanksgiving just passed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Amazing. It is my favorite holiday.
It
of
is.
All holidays.
So were you with your family? I know you live in Granada Hills. I want to hear your whole story. So this is just the beginning. We're jumping into stuff here. But I have to talk about the fact that it was Thanksgiving. Christmas is coming up. And so anything special that you did on Thanksgiving?
Oh, no. It was like, I think it was just a classic Thanksgiving. Like we woke up, played basketball. My parents live in Utah, so it's way too cold to go outside and play football. So we played basketball in a gym. And it was just like a classic Thanksgiving. All of the good foods, good times, good family.
Is your mom a good cook? My mom's an amazing cook. But I had a Friendsgiving, and no offense to my friend James, who's a good cook, but he's definitely not as good as my mom.
Never beats mom.
Yeah, that was tough.
But, yeah, my mom made some amazing food.
Well, your story is a fascinating one, Alex. I'm super excited to have you here. You're originally from Phoenix, Arizona, right?
Yeah.
And then you moved to LA at a young age. And your whole story and kind of how you started in the church and you started in school musicals and everything is a pretty interesting, amazingly fascinating story. Also, the fact that you have amassed millions and millions of views and followers on your YouTube page. Kind of, you know, you have an incredible voice. You do these incredible songs. You just released new music. You have a movie you just shot for Netflix. We're going to get into all that stuff. But your path and your journey and how you started up until now, and even people that tune into this, Alex, that want to know, how do you become successful like yourself? How do you start with a guitar in your bedroom or maybe a High School Musical and get to the fact, you know, the point that you're at now with 6 million subscribers? Like, how does that story begin? Take us to from the beginning to now.
Oh, man. It's crazy. Sorry. Especially with Thanksgiving happening, it's been a very reflective week this last week of just thinking back to all the amazing things that I've been so blessed to come across in my life and the amazing fans and whatnot. So it was very cool listening to that and be like, man, We have done all of yeah. that. That's amazing.
Because it hasn't been that long that you've been doing this, truth be told, right?
It depends. If we're talking to somebody who's been in the game for 20 years, no. Yeah. But if we're talking to most of the fans and most of the listeners who can see just the surface, then definitely been in a long time. I was actually, it made me laugh when you first said an OG. That was the first time somebody's ever referred to me as an OG. Because most of the time people see, you know, 2016 as the starting point of my career, since that was when the viral videos and signing to the major labels and amassing the larger followings happened. People usually see, oh, he started in 2016, but I actually moved to Los Angeles in 2011. So for 5 years before that, I was grinding every single day.
Well, take me to the beginning, because obviously you start out doing things that a lot of people do, and obviously a lot of people don't achieve what you've achieved, right? So when you're in your first High School Musical, when you're in church and you're singing and whatnot, right? Because that's kind of, you started listening to people like Lauryn Hill, and you started listening to different singers that, I guess, Pharrell might have been an influence of yours. I know John Legend was a huge influence.
Some good homework here.
So I got to research everyone I have on the show, because ultimately that's what it's about, right? So you were listening to those singers. Who else were you listening to? I know that your first CD that you ever bought, I think I heard, was like, Now This Is Music,
yeah.
right? So, I mean, you're obviously listening to everything sort of pop-related. Was that your genre when you were a kid? You're like, I want to be a pop star?
You know, my parents were super, they did a really good job. I look back at everything, but they did a really good job at balancing out me being a kid and listening to what all of the kids are listening to, the popular music, the now that's what I call music compilations. But they also did a really, really good job at making sure if we heard a song that Kanye West sampled, we hear the original song. So right. that when you hear it, you know, it's not always surface level for this newer pop music. There's so much depth to it that my parents made sure I was aware of. And so listening to, even now, you hear Nice For What by Drake, and you know that that's doo-wop by Lauryn Hill that right, they sampled, right. sped up, and chopped up.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very grateful, because while I did listen to the Lauryn Hills, while I listened to the Luther Vandross and everything from Stevie Wonder to Prince to the Beatles, all of the greats, they also let me be a kid and listen to, you know, back in the day it was like the new Usher albums, right. and the new, you know, Ja Rule and Ashanti and then also listening to just like the pop music as David Guetta came onto the scene and all of the more EDM house music. I became a big fan of those.
And years later you actually end up writing with John Legend, which is crazy because he was an artist that you emulated, right? When
yes.
you were a kid. So I wanna hear that whole story, how that happened. But you're in church. You have these odd jobs growing up. How old were you at that point when you started singing, kind of in the you know, school musicals
yeah,
in the church?
I mean,
what were you, 15 at that point?
Before that, because by the time I was 15, I was out of high school working, doing the online high school thing, which shout out to my mom because she did like most of the logging in on the online high school for me. Sorry to say it. But this was, you know, being in school musicals and everything, that was all elementary school.
Okay.
And going to church, you know, I was raised in a very strong faithful family that attended church every Sunday, and we would be singing musical numbers. And
by the way, the bands are amazing in church, right? People don't know how great those bands are when you go to church. Like, the drummers are incredible. All the singers are obviously incredible. The new Kanye West album, obviously based on everything about right. going to church. So people don't realize, like, what a education that is in music when you start like that.
The crazy thing for me is I was raised Mormon, and my family's were very strong Mormon family. And so the Mormon church is not that. Like, the Mormon church is very reverent. It's like we all sing as a congregation. There's no choir up on
top. Oh, you didn't
have
a band? There was no band?
No, no band, just an organ or a piano. So it wasn't really, unless I went to church with my friends, which we tried to do as a lot. My parents were really good about making sure that we were aware of all the other religions, finding the through lines in all of them. but they made it a habit to make sure that we were actively going to other churches and trying. So I was very.
So you never had a band?
No, I never had the band, but I always got to go to the churches where they had the band. So
that's cool.
It was very cool. And then coming up and once I moved to LA and I got to go experience other church, you know, my manager is Jewish and I have friends that go to, you know, Baptist church, and I have one of my friends is like Pentecostal. So we'd go like we got to go experience all these other groups. And so we got to experience the music and the way that they worshiped. And so that helped also build into the depth.
So it was like then you did some high school. You did some high school musicals too.
It was just elementary. And then I remember I was in eighth grade and I had a role in like our junior high school's Seussical the Musical. And I got kicked out because it was right when I was starting to come back and forth between L.A. and Phoenix, and I was missing too many rehearsals, so they kicked me out to play.
That always happens.
Michael Jordan. You know, it's like right. Michael Jordan didn't make his high school team. I got kicked out. Of my play.
And take me through after that, right? Like, where do you end up after that? Because at a certain point, you move to L.A. and you start getting into, you know, did you ever think that this would be a career for you? Did you ever think, this is what I'm focused on? Because now at young, sometimes you meet kids now, they're like eight, and they're like, you know what? I know I'm going to be a physicist. And right. I'm like, you're 8 years old. What's going on over here? So at what point did you kind of, you know, say to yourself, I really think that this is a career for me? Was it when you started putting stuff on YouTube? Or was it before then even?
I think it was quite a bit before that. My parents were always very, very aware of how much time I actually spent working on music, working on my craft from a very, very young age.
And because so, you kind of moved here like 14,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 14.
Which is crazy.
And so when I was like 7th and 8th grade, my dad sat me down and he's like, is this something that you want to do? Like, is this what you want to do for your life, or is this just something for fun? And to me, like growing up, I always make this analogy, like, you know how kids are always like, I want to be a firefighter. And then the next day they're like, I want to be a motocross rider, or I want to be an accountant or a lawyer. For me, it was all of those things, but it was always like, I want to be like a lawyer, but like low-key a singer. Like I actually
a low-key lawyer singer.
Like that I'm like, I'd be like, I object. But I wanted, I
that could
it was
be a new
always
genre, by the way, just
a lawyer
singer. Yeah,
I
that could be a new genre.
Nothing but law. Right. Like I passed the bar right. And I raised the bar.
I actually love that. I think that's a whole new genre, even on shows on Netflix. The lawyer singers.
Mm-hmm. It's a lawyer. It's like Legally Blonde the musical, but right. we're adding a little bit more seriousness to it.
I love that.
But it was always something that was super like there for me. Like music was always there. So when my dad sat me down, he's like, "Is this something that you want to do?" That's when I think it turned a tide. That it turned from Alex is just goofing around on the piano to my dad adding that, like, you need to work on your craft, you need to practice, you need to get better, you need to write songs, you need to do all of that.
And you were actually, like, busking on Santa Monica Promenade, right?
Yeah,
is that
when
sort
I
of
moved,
how you got discovered?
It's not how I got discovered. I mean, I guess in a way it did.
And
that's
what,
how
what,
I met
were you
my
15?
Manager.
Were you,
yeah, I was 15 years old.
Is that how
old.
You guys met?
That's how I met my management. Laura's been here for like the last year, and she's
okay.
Amazing. By
amazing.
The way, hi Laura.
Shout out to Laura.
But I met my manager because I was performing on the promenade, and I one of my manager's friends had taken a video of me and like sent it, and they wanted to kind of collaborate on managing me and working with me. It ended up just being my manager now, Billy Mann. But he
what were you
that's
playing?
How we connected. I was playing everything from like the originals that I was writing that day to covers of John Legend mainly,
right.
Or any song that I had learned in my history, because the way that it worked on the promenade is you have 2 hour blocks. So I needed to play 2 hours worth of music. Realistically, I could probably do like 1 hour and then just do the same hour again because people are just yeah. walking past.
And what kind of money could you actually make, like busking out there for 2 hours?
Oh man, I remember my parents, because I was underage, my parents always had to be there, so they would sit there. But we always made it like an activity. So my sisters would come, or my parents would
so
invite
would
my aunts and
the
uncles. They just sit there and wow. just listen to me play the same old song. Yeah,
it's
so
team effort.
Shout out, my family is like the greatest. Shout out to them.
But
to
they weren't
family.
Living here, so they flew out here and they would kind because you right. were actually you moved out here. So.
Yeah, my father and I were living here permanently, and my mom was coming back and forth and back and forth. My two older sisters were in college, and my younger sister was still going to school in Arizona because she wanted to stay with her friends.
So you're 15, 16, busking out there? How
yeah,
old are you?
Okay. It was actually just 15.
And your parents are there. You're
yeah.
playing all kinds of hits. No originals at that point.
No,
right?
A few originals.
Few originals.
Nothing like big. Like yeah. this is like the songs that I wrote in my bedroom.
Yeah.
that were like looking back at them, not the best, like in terms of songwriting, but I loved them at the time.
Actually, so I am going to ask you your first song you ever wrote, but I do want to say, so you would make what, $100? Like, what could you make being out there for 2 hours?
For 2 hours, you could make, you know.
More? If 500?
Between one and I think like the most I ever made was like 400.
Well, the thing is, let's rewind. You are a world-class act, right? There are people out there that are not great that are making $30 probably. I mean, I think if you're singing like you're singing, ultimately you could probably make $500, but that's not probably what most people make, or do they?
I think even more than just being the talent, it was something that I remember. There was another performer on the promenade, and his name's Candyman, and he was a dancer. But more than dancing, his showmanship, his ability to connect with people and be like, you, sir, like, what's your name? Like, where are you from? And be able to really draw them in. That was something that I watched him do, and then I would sit with him and I would talk about it with him. That helped me do it, so that when these people are walking past and they come and they listen for a little bit, but then they keep walking, stopping the song and being like, yo, what's your favorite song? Like, I'll play it for you right now. And then building that connection is really how I feel, that's how it set apart those who could come out and they would just make the $30 or the $40, which is still amazing.
Yeah. But making $500,
those who can really pump. I remember listening to Candyman talk to me about it, and he's telling me, "Oh man, I could make some guy gave me $400 cash because he had felt this like connection and wanted to feel like more connected with me." And so,
so you were making like $2,000 a week out there.
No, I mean, because I only did it on the weekends.
Okay, all right.
Because during the weekdays, I was working. I was working at Brandon's Way Studio with Babyface and Tony Dixon and Chris Riddick Tynes
and someone and that a lot had of been producers. With somebody that had worked with us for a while. Pia Mia, I heard that you were in the studio and Pia Mia was there or something, right?
That's like a mega throwback. Yeah. Pia Mia had just come through. I had just come through. We were a bunch of little kids and we're just out there singing for whoever, whenever, however, ready to go on a dime.
Amazing. So maybe you're making $600 a weekend, maybe you're making $800, $1,000, whatever it is. It's quite a lot of money when you're 15, right?
It was cool. Yeah, it's quite a lot of money when you're not paying the bills. Right, you know what exactly. I mean? It's like, it's nice when we'd finish and I'd be like, let's go to Hooters and get like all the wings and all the fried pickles. I love fried pickles. All the fried pickles, all the wings, don't matter. Yeah. I got it.
Well, I actually want to hear the first song you ever wrote. Do you remember it?
You know what? That's a great
question.
Because
you got your guitar here. Truth be told, I was talking to you before when you just walked in. Bryce Vine came on. You're actually our second performer to bring an instrument, which is great because, as we spoke about, I'm from music. And so this is great. And you sounded incredible. We did a little sound check here. So the first song you ever wrote, because you're also well known for the mashup, right? That's a huge part, and we're going to get into that. So let's hear the first song you ever wrote, if you remember.
Let me capo it up so that I can have a good.
Do whatever you got to do.
Because back
great.
In the day, I mean, we're writing songs before puberty, yeah, so we're writing songs that we're just like just keying up as much as we can. Yeah. I don't even remember the verses, but I was take my time and take my love, baby. What is mine is always yours. It was called Always Yours. That was the first
one. You know what? I got to say, it still sounds great. So
thank you. We're dropping. It's the new drop.
Your first song is going to be released tomorrow, too, now. And at a certain point, you got into the mashup acts, right? Because you were like, listen, I got something here, right? I can take these songs. I can make them my own. I can put my own spin on it. And before you know it, you're amassing like millions of views on YouTube, right? So walk me through how that process worked, right? How did that come about? Because it's not a lot of people wouldn't do that, but it's not so easy. You obviously had the talent. People started recognizing it. We were just talking before. At a certain point, you were even on Interscope Records, and now you're doing a lot of stuff on your own. You signed to other record labels. So, but talk me through that whole process, because it's not usual for people to put stuff on YouTube, put their own mashup, and before you know it, there's 6 million subscribers and millions of views. I think One Dance was one of the first ones that you did, right?
Right. I mean, I think One Dance was definitely the one of the first ones that started really taking off. But I think it's always very,
67
very...
67 million views. I think it took off.
No, I mean, it started taking off out of all of the videos that I was doing, because I think it's very imperative, especially for the listeners, for those who are sitting in your bedroom starting out the same place that I started out, that I started my YouTube channel in 2012. And One Dance was created in 2016.
All right,
so it's a long process. And I don't want that process to ever get lost in the weeds of success, because it's, I think so many people, especially so many millennials and Gen Z, are wanting things quickly. They think, oh, you put up a video and immediately it's going to go big, and then you're big and you don't have to worry about it. It's not that, you know, in any way, shape or form. It was years and years and years of doing regular covers, doing acoustic videos, doing basketball trick shots and flash mobs and all of these other videos that we put out.
Because even your earlier songs were more acoustic based.
Right, right.
And they weren't so, there wasn't so much instrumentation. And now that's much more orchestrated. But this number to me is astounding. 981 million views. I can't, when you think about that, right, it's got to feel like a little bit like, that's almost a billion views, right?
Yeah.
You got to be like, man, something connected with people, because there's no way that what you're doing doesn't connect with. And we were just having the discussion about record labels, not record labels, doing it yourself, DIY versus where the industry has gone. And obviously it's something I've been a part of for many, many years. So I want to hear your thoughts on that. I actually want to hear another song too, but talk about how that whole process works. So it's years of putting up these videos.
Right.
In the beginning, they were more like joke videos.
No, I mean in the beginning, it was just, I wanted to just connect. Like I was watching videos that I connected with. You know, I'd watch Dude Perfect, who was a YouTube channel that does basketball trick shots, and I love basketball. So I tried doing a basketball trick shot, and I remember flash mobs were a big thing, and I always said, I want to be a part of a flash mob. And so we did a flash mob, and somebody happened to have a camera that was filming us, so I just popped it up. And
you then, might watch Casey Neistat.
I would watch Casey Neistat, who, yeah, is coming in today. Big shout out to Casey Neistat. I never forget the night that we snuck into the YouTube Music Awards, into like the VIP section where like Macklemore and Fifth Harmony were, and it was like a big thing. So big shout outs to Casey. But it was really just trying to connect. And that's why I think the continual growth was so natural and organic, was because I just wanted to connect with people. I realized as I was making mashups on my guitar or covering songs on my guitar, I realized, man, I need to, what is something that I can connect even deeper with? What's something that I can grow and people can grow with me? And production was something that I always wanted to get into. So I started then getting into production. I downloaded Logic Pro and I started making beats. And I started thinking to myself, oh man, if I could add this to my YouTube videos, then that can start growing more and more. And I think if you watch back to the very first video I produced, we're talking like stock synth, stock drum, stock vocal chain.
Yeah.
And now if you watch the most recent videos, we're talking about like very in-depth productions that I'm very proud to watch my own growth. You know, I don't claim to be a Pharrell or a Timbaland, but the fact that I can look back at my own videos and fans can look back, and anybody who has access to the internet can look back and see where I started and where I'm here now, that to me is the most important part, the growth and that continuous connection that I have with the fans, that they can feel like they are in the journey with me because they are.
But even the evolution, Alex, it's funny, right? When you listen and you go back, I mean, you kind of need to be more than one thing these days. You're a performer, but you need to be like a videographer. You need to be an editor. You need to be a graphic designer, right? Because sometimes I'm trying to put together content for what we do here, and it's like, wait a minute, I don't know how to do like digital animation on these videos. And then I got to find a guy who does it. I got to find a videographer. Shout out to Terrence, who's over here.
Terrence and Laura, dude. They're just crushing it behind the scenes.
Yeah, people don't know how many people play a part in creating that content and creating, you know, what is the ability to make you be as creative as you are.
Right.
So when you first started, was it just you? Was it you and a buddy? Was it you and three friends? Like, because that process of even how it starts and to now, you probably have a team of people, right? So talk about how that happens, because even the fact that you started on YouTube, like, you definitely probably started, I would imagine, by yourself, right?
Yes.
And now let's talk about how many people are on your team and how that whole thing has progressed, because it's got to be a different, the whole path and journey from that to now, and you've been doing it now, I guess you said 2012 is when you started?
Yeah.
So it's 7 years of making videos, right? So walk me through that process from the beginning. You're by yourself, you're with a guitar, maybe you're with like some loop, or maybe you're singing over a track.
Right.
To now, how many people make these things happen for you?
So for the YouTube videos, I'm actually very, very, very proud of the decision that I made to never let anybody in. Nobody's ever helped me make the YouTube videos.
So you
Nobody's
do it yourself.
Ever made the beats. Still to this day, I press record on the camera and I
That's
go
cool.
and I sit down. It was always something that felt very raw to me. It was something that I felt like in a lot of ways nobody else by adding more and more and more, I think it would dilute the fact that I started out as a kid from his bedroom. And I still record videos on my, you watch my That's most awesome. Recent video, I'm on my bed.
Yeah, I saw that. Room. I saw and that. So, but I was like, maybe there's a team of people behind you. I don't know.
For the YouTube videos, it's always just been something very special to me. I started out with nothing. I started off literally the microphone that I would record with was my dad borrowed it from his friend, and then my dad and that friend had a falling out, and I just kept the microphone. And I, like, literally, that was how it started.
Now, did you research? Microphone. Were you researching programs Logic?
Logic. I would record. So. I first started editing the videos in iMovie, and then we graduated up to Final Cut, and now we're in Premiere, and you continually grow. And that's the beauty of where we are in the world now, is that, like you were saying, if you don't know how to do something, you could call a friend, or you could call your friend YouTube, and they'll tell you how to do it. Like they'll like. I remember.
Do you actually? Can you actually call YouTube?
I think is you there, probably. Like there's a probably a work line for there YouTube, but is. I don't think you can ask them for video editing. Yeah.
Hello, YouTube. I just like, have a question.
Yeah, hey, how do I chop up this video? No, but it was always something that I kept very close with myself, and sometimes even to a demise, because I don't really like taking notes on the YouTube videos. Like there's something about it all being from inside. So other than connecting with the fans and taking their song requests, there's not really. I've had people be like, "You should do this with your videos," and I'm like, "No. Like I'm gonna do what I think is." Exactly. Me connecting with the fans, and if the fans are like, we want to see this, then that's different. But hearing these other people tell you how to connect with the people that you've already connected with, it doesn't really read to me. And that's why I think it's so important that I stay real and raw and keep it in my bedroom, is because the more that you start going out and you have other videographers and other editors, with no hate to Terrence at all, but like for me and the way that I connect with my fans, I wanted me to connect with my fans.
Sure,
I want to be there. I want to be the one that's in the comments and talking to them. And so that's why it's so imperative, especially with the YouTube videos, that I'm always, I don't care about the view number. I don't care about how many likes or comments.
All do you
I
read care those about, comments?
Oh, yeah.
You do.
I go through them all the time.
Even the negative ones? We should make a segment. I love those segments on like Jimmy Fallon
where they just read the negative comments.
Amazing.
Weirdly enough, that never really was something that got to me.
Yeah.
If anything, it was always fuel for me to like continue pushing, because I'm like, man, I want to push harder and harder, because originally there would be negative comments, and now there's negative comments and they get just destroyed. Like, I no hate to the people who give negative comments, but my fans are Rottweilers. My fans will like dog you out.
Are they going to give me a good review on this video?
You make sure you give the Lips podcast. Make sure it's some good love, guys.
That's funny. So you started to do that. I know you actually worked at All Saints even when you first started, right? Was that before or after this time? Because, 15, you're busking.
Right.
When is All Saints? Is that 17?
This is All Saints is 18.
18,
you had to be. I think you had to be 18 to work for All Saints. So I. Wait a second. Oh, no, it was 18. I lie. It was 18, 2014. And I was in this place where I had moved to New York. We had done a lot of, in my mind, really successful touring at 16 and 17 years old. And for some reason, when 2014 came around, I had just turned 18 and I was kind of coming into my adulthood, and I didn't like where I was and I wasn't happy about it. And I was really kind of getting down on myself and in the dumps about my growth was kind of stunting and I wasn't getting offered tours and it wasn't growing up and up and up. And so in my mind, I was like, man, maybe this isn't for me. Like maybe this was a fun trip and now it's time for me to be a regular adult. And so.
So you had already been touring before you worked at All Saints.
Yeah.
Wow,
no, I mean, cause I was 16, 17. This was all very independent, all very rootsy, like paying to be on tours with R5. And then eventually getting to go on tour with Bridget Mendler, playing shows with, what was that band? There was a boy band. I want to say they were called The Weeknd or something like that.
There's the internet, but that's a different
No, band. This is like a boy band. They've come and they've broken up and done the whole thing. But playing shows, I played a show with the Backstreet Boys back in the day. But this was beforehand and doing all that touring. Again, looking back at it now, looking at that touring, I'm like, oh, it was not. At the time, I was like, I'm blowing up.
Right.
But it was really just playing, shows for $1,000. A night, but also having to pay that $1,000 immediately back into the costs of touring.
Pay for play, yeah.
Exactly. And
it's
so,
interesting, Sam, when you look at your career trajectory, because I was looking at a lot of stuff and listening to a lot of your earlier songs, actually you haven't put out like a full length. They've all been singles, right?
No, not yet.
So what's interesting is that you're putting up these mashups, you're doing other people's songs. At a certain point, you actually tell me about the process of how you signed your record deal and all that, because that's always interesting too, because it's not a traditional process.
Right.
And we were talking about it now, when you have 6 million subscribers, when you're getting, you know, you're amassing 981 million views. Do you need a record label? Do you want to do it yourself? Like,
right.
What was your mentality towards that? Because obviously you're already your own brand. So now bringing in a record label, major record label, that comes with a lot of responsibility, fiscal responsibility. People don't understand, you know, you got a record deal. Everyone's like, I got $1 million advance. You know, you got to pay that back.
Yeah.
You know?
It all.
And you know, that money, you know, is just a loan from the bank. And if you make a video now, no one really makes videos for $500,000 unless
right.
you're like Kanye or whatever. But if you make a video for $1 million or $500,000 or whatever, you got to pay it back.
It's all got to go back. And I'm very lucky that I had from the jump, I've had very, very financially aware friends and peers and business managers who have always been very conscious and made me very conscious of money that comes in that is for me and money that comes in that is, in essence, a loan that's going to go right back out. And so I think to answer that is a massive question of label versus no label when you have a following. And you know, I have absolute love for Interscope. They were an amazing partner. John Janik, everybody at Interscope that pulled through and kept fighting for me, they were great. And my answer is, I don't think labels are the yes or a no. It's just it depends for who you are.
Sure.
The work that I got done with Interscope, releasing so many records and connecting with the fans and going out on tours, it was great work. And everybody there that was at the record label was so kind and so supportive and so wanting to push and keep going. But also in that same breath, I think if you can amass the following on your own, you've seen so many people who have done it without. You have your Chance the Rappers, you have your Macklemores, and
right.
all of those artists who have built it and really put their feet on the ground. There's no pedestal. It's me, feet on the ground, pump, pump, pump.
Yeah.
And so it's something that's super case by case, I think. And so I love Interscope for the work that we did. They'll always be very, very sweet and very, very kind in my heart and in my view. They were always good. This isn't even, we are talking about it off the microphone, and I have nothing but positive things to say about Interscope. But sometimes it just doesn't.
Yeah.
The views and the visions and my ability to connect with the fans made it a different, it just made it, the route just went this way. And so now I'm very happy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the first guy that kind of broke out from kind of, it's probably one of your peers, is Shawn Mendes, right?
Oh man, Shawn is amazing.
So, yeah, he was like the guy that, you know, came from the same school, YouTuber, and he wrote amazing songs, and he ended up really doing super well with it. So there's different ways, right? People go the indie route. Are there like indie sort of like YouTubers that have done really well that you look up to, that you really admire? That
I mean, there's also like, you look at Troye Sivan.
Right, Troye
Sivan is
yeah,
a very underspoken, yeah. like a very, like, is it soft-spoken? No, it's not soft-spoken. He's underrated
yeah.
for the fact that he did also go from the social media realm. And you
yeah.
have so many artists now who are, even if it's not as heavily social media to traditional media as the Shawn Mendeses and myself and Troye Sivan. You have so many artists who are really trying to build their social media and connect with fans. Khalid is one of the best.
Definitely.
He connects with his fans every single day. Like I look at him, I'm like, where do you get this time right. to connect with the fans?
Winning,
you know?
Grammys, you know, connecting with the fans.
Just crushing it.
Crushing it, yeah.
Khalid is like is an absolute yeah. catalyst for this artist, traditional and social media, you know, modern media collaboration.
So at a certain point, you're making your own music, you're doing these mashups, and then do you kind of make a conscious effort, you want to move away, because you're still doing the mashups, but
yeah.
you're like, am I going to move away from that or go straight into my own stuff? Because now you're acting, we'll talk about the Netflix
yeah.
movie in a second, we'll talk about your new music, your new song you just released,
yeah.
we're going to hear your new song you just released,
yeah.
which is super exciting. But do you make like an effort in your head, or you're like, you know, I've been so successful doing these mashups, like, should I do my own music? Are you? I know you've been doing it all along,
right.
but like, do you kind of like, are you ever in your head like, you know, this is working really well? It's hard, you know, out there in music, and obviously you've been successful in both.
Right.
But do you kind of ever think, you know, maybe I'll just stop doing the mashups and only work on my own stuff? Is that sort of a conscious decision, or you just do what you do?
You know, it's to me, it is just about. I see so many artists who do that, who do the like, oh, we're doing the new thing, so now we don't have to do the old thing. And for me, I'm like, I'm just in this, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Like, why not do both? Why not connect deeper? Why not continue doing what you've been doing while doing the new thing? Why not?
Yeah.
Just go for it.
So you're going to do both? You just
so
keep
I've been
doing,
doing
what
both.
You're doing?
You know, obviously, like, I was filming this movie, and I really tried to stay active and keep posting and keep connecting. but
Finding Ohana. We should talk about
Finding
that.
Finding Ohana.
So can we talk about that?
Yeah,
a little
let's go.
Bit?
Let's go. Yeah, let's go right into it.
So this is a movie you just got back.
Yes.
You were in Thailand. You were in Hawaii.
Right.
And how was it?
It was such a new experience in the best way. Like, you know, I come from this music world where even with the record label, it's like you make your music videos. And other than that, you're like kind of by yourself in the studio with one producer, or two producers, a couple writers, whatever it is. Very rarely do you have a collaboration of such a large scale. And so the movie really, you know, shout outs to UTA, my agency. They were sending me out for different roles. Peter DeSantis over at UTA was sending me out for roles. And he knew that we were working heavily on music. And so he had made us a promise. He's like, I'm only going to send you for roles that I really genuinely think you can get.
Can we talk about what it's about or not really? It's
like, not really. I'm actually just happy because originally we were going to do this podcast before I went filming
the movie.
And I couldn't even talk about it. So that's why I was like, oh man, like I'm going to go on this and you're going to be like, so what are you doing for the rest of the year? And
like,
I'm like,
I can't really say,
but I'll be gone. So I'm happy now, you know, Jude Wang, who directed it, Ian Bryce, who produced the movie, and his production company, who has... They've done everything from all of the Transformers movies, Saving Private Ryan, Twister.
Amazing.
Getting to be a part of and coming back to it, going from being in the studio or being in my room by myself to now being on a set with hundreds of people who are all collaborating towards one goal was wild.
All I want to ask you, are you a good guy or a bad guy?
I'm a good guy.
Okay, good.
But
I
also have
character.
It's a character-developing good guy. You know, okay. It's like you got to – I think there's a lot of – a lot of fun, exciting things that happen that I can't talk about.
Well,
in the movie.
We can't talk about it, but we're excited to see it. And we want to talk about your new music. So,
yes.
Be Alright Forever, your new tune, just released already, 100,000 views, whatever it may be. The video's out already. We did a little sample, and shout out to Mana, who just walked in, and Sadie. We were talking about it before you came in that Mana's been a big fan of yours. So, we wanted to play a song now.
Yes.
So, Be Alright Forever, why don't we pick up the guitar again.
Yeah, I'll grab the guitar.
It sounded so good that I just felt like other people needed to hear this in the room and not just me and, you know, everyone else in here. So here we are. So this song just came out.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it for a minute. Like, what's it mean to you? What's it about?
So there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot about it. So the record we wrote right before I left for the movie. And we were getting ready for this movie. And in getting ready for the movie, I started feeling this stress about, oh man, I'm like leaving music. Like I'm not doing music, which is my thing. Like this is what I do. This is what I've put my 10,000 hours into. And now I'm just going to like bounce on it and I'm going to just kind of abandon it for a little bit. And I was stressing about it. I started thinking, man, if I go and I can't connect with the fans, like I don't want them to leave. And I started getting my mind into this darker place of worrying about numbers and worrying about fans and worrying about and not worrying about fans in the right sense, worrying about fans in the wrong sense, in the sense of if they leave, I'll have nothing, and adding my own personal value to what others can view me as. And as we started writing this record, and we already had the hook of, I know we'll be all right, I know we'll be all right, it started becoming very, very personal to me.
And the video is sort of about what you have and what you don't have.
Exactly.
And how you can achieve it in a
Which
sense.
Which we filmed during my only off day in Hawaii week. Like I flew out my buddy Tori Catalano. Shout outs to you, brother. You're the best. And he came out. We brainstormed an idea the night before. And then the next day we just filmed it. And I wanted a video that kind of told that same story of no matter how many blessings you have, I was in Hawaii and I was surrounded by amazing food, amazing people, amazing opportunities. I wanted that music video to paint that you can be in the greatest place and still be blind to everything but what you don't have.
Yeah.
And so throughout the video, I wanted that arc of going, okay, all I wanted from the beginning was a guitar. And then I got my guitar. And now instead of being happy I have a guitar, it was immediately like, well, but I don't have what I need to produce and record. And then once you have that, and it's always wanting.
I want a relationship, I want my freedom.
Exactly. Yeah. Like as soon as you want it, it's gone. Or as soon as you want it, you have it, you want the next thing.
And we should talk about this song has been playlisted on all types of major playlists on YouTube, Spotify, 21 countries, New Music Friday, which is amazing. So I think we need to let it rip, right? Be
Let's
all right
go
forever.
For it. Let's have a party.
Here we go.
You're listening to Lips LA with Scott Lips.
Singing in the morning. I got that raspy voice, you know? Stressing out a million miles away from songs about Ibiza.
missing out. Money's got a way of making losers out of dreamers. But we spent all night at Canyon Lake under a tin roof porch in the pouring rain. You drank barefoot wine while I sparked the flame, singing Spanish Harlem by Benny King. Yeah, I know we'll be all right. I know we'll be all right. I know we'll be all right forever. No, oh, I know we'll be all right. I know we'll be all right. I know we'll be all right forever. Airplane starts fade out with the feeling like broken hearts are fleeting. Yeah, and all we are lost kids in search of meaning, like no one said it was easy. But we spent all night at Canyon Lake under a tin roof porch in the pouring rain. You drank barefoot wine while I sparked the flame, singing Spanish Harlem by Benny King. Yeah, I know we'll be alright. I know we'll be alright. I know we'll be alright forever. No, I know we'll be alright. I know we'll be alright. I know we'll be alright forever. No, we spent all night at Canyon Lake under a tin roof porch in the pouring rain. You drank barefoot wine while I sparked the flame, singing Spanish Harlem by Benny King. Yeah, yeah, I know we'll be alright. I know we'll be alright. I know we'll be alright forever. No.
Amazing. That's going to be a regular feature on the show, Alex. By the way, you're not off the hook, because before, there's one more thing I want you to do.
Yes.
And then we're going to talk about next year, 2020, everything.
Okay.
We're going to wrap up here. But one more song, because that was so great, and I need to do it again with you, like a mashup that you're known for, because you're known for all this stuff. So
okay.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, because I know you do this so well, mm-hmm. and this is kind of what you do, like, on a daily basis. So, and this is what you're known for, too, is one of the things you're known for. So if you had to pick a mashup that you could do, maybe one of the ones that, you know. I don't want to one Dan anything,
right,
you know.
Right.
I can throw some stuff out. There's a great Post Malone cover you just did.
Let's see.
But I know you have to be able to play
what?
It on guitar.
Let's
so.
We'll do one dance just because okay. I haven't sung a song forever. Yeah. But, baby, I like your style. Grips on your waist, run away back way. You know that I don't play. Streets not safe, but I never run away. Even when I'm away. OT, OT, there's never much love when we go OT. I pray I make it back in one piece. I pray And that's why I need a one dance. Got an AC in my hand. One more time for I go. Higher powers taking a hold. I need a one dance. Got an AC in my hand. One more time for I go. Higher powers taking a hold. Yeah. Oh, baby, I like your style. Strength and guidance, all that I'm wishing for my friends. Nobody makes it from my ends. I had to bust up the silence. You know you gotta stick right by me. Soon as you see the text, reply me. I don't wanna spend time fighting. Como tú te amas, yo no sé. De dónde llegaste ni pregunté. Lo único que sé es que quiero con usted.
quedarme contigo hasta el amanecer. Como tú te amas, yo no sé de dónde llegaste ni pregunté. Lo único que sé es que quiero con usted quedarme contigo hasta el amanecer. Let's go. Óyeme, mamacita, tu cuerpo higadita, piel morena, lo que no necesita. Mirando a una chica tan bonita, pregunto por qué anda tan solida. Dale, ae, moviendo todo eso pa' mí. No importaría más ni el país, llevámonos de aquí, que tengo algo bueno para ti, una noche de aventura que vivir. Óyeme, ae, mami, vamos, dale. Rumiando, bebiendo a la vez. Tú tranquila que yo te daré una noche llena de placer. I need one dance, yeah. One more time before I go. Higher powers taking a hold. I need one dance. Quedarme contigo hasta el amanecer.
Amazing. Wow, we just started a whole new trend here, Alex, with like music on the show. Boom. How great was that? So everyone knows how great that was. Great.
Oh, thank
that was
you
amazing,
very much.
amazing.
Thank so you.
I could just sit here and listen to that all day and we don't need to talk. It's fine, you know. That was great. And what a pleasure. So 2020, my brother.
Yes.
So you got a lot going on. You got the movie coming out.
Yes.
By the way, everyone go download Be Alright Forever.
Thank you.
And listen to it on Spotify. Let's give out a shout out to all your channels, all your tags, right?
Oh, man.
Follow you on Instagram.
Yes, I got a weird last name, so it's always the same, no matter what. It's at Alex Iono, A-I-O-N-O.
Okay, well, I couldn't say that you said it better than I could, but obviously, for obvious reasons. YouTube, 6 million subscribers, be 6 million in one, so everyone should do that. Check out the movie, too, right? So
yeah,
we're excited about
Ohana
the movie.
Should be coming out 2020.
And then also, you might even have, like, a Christmas surprise coming up. Should we talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I was just sitting there, and I always constantly think to myself, how can we keep connecting? How can we keep going? And especially this year, having so much abundance in all aspects in terms of connecting with the fans, getting to go out on Fun 2-3 tour this year, making a movie, continuing to release music, and continuing to connect on social media. I was like, how can we have a cool looking back moment while releasing
like a present
something
to
new,
the fans, new too, right?
And a little present for us yeah. to all celebrate. So I want to put together, I'm asking the fans for their help to help me choose, but my favorite covers that I've ever done. So not necessarily the big ones, not necessarily the most views, but the ones that I look back at and I go,
what are your favorite ones?
I guess you have to wait and see, Scott. Right, yeah. You
gotta
wait and see. I can't tell every secret on a podcast.
Right. Well, definitely tune into that. We're excited for the future. So anything else that you want to accomplish in 2020 that you haven't done yet? Because you've done a lot at a pretty young age.
There's
what are you 21?
23.
23, okay.
I'm old now.
So the old age of 23, you've accomplished quite a lot. Anything looking forward to for 2020 that you want to do that you haven't? You've toured the world. You've gotten a billion views, you have songs everywhere, right. Spotify playlists. So what haven't you done?
There's one specific thing that I haven't done yet, and I'm doing it in 2020. I'm actually going
to
do it.
We got to be able to talk about some stuff.
I'm doing it at the end of 2019.
Can we talk about that?
It's a special little project that I'm working on for the rest of the year.
Can you give a hint or something?
I can't give you any other hints. Literally, my manager called me on the way here, and he was like, yo, I want you to tell him you got a special project that we're working on, but you cannot say what it is. So it's something that we talked about. This is a little Easter egg. Something we've talked about on this podcast that I haven't done that I'm going to do in 2020, but I'm actually going to do it in 2019.
Maybe being on an episode of Black Mirror. That's my
that's
favorite show.
That's what it is.
Your favorite show.
Me and Anthony McKinney are going to do a Black Mirror episode together, but not the one that he did before. A different one.
That's my favorite show. So I know it's one of yours.
I mean, Anthony Mackie. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
The dude that's on the Black Mirror
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, well, there's so many episodes. I don't know. But
the one where they do the video
the
game.
The Star Trek one?
The one where it's a video game.
Oh, right. That's a great episode. I love those episodes. Amazing. Well, listen, it's such a pleasure. You're an incredible inspiration, incredible voice.
Oh, thank
everyone. Everyone go check out all your music, check out the movie,
yeah.
And I'm hoping that we get to know pretty soon what the project is for next year that we can talk about, but I'm sure all your 6 million fans and a billion views that, you know, everybody will know soon, right?
I'll tell you what, when the project is ready to be talked
come
about,
on again.
We're going to come back to the Lips
exactly,
podcast,
exactly.
We'll do
it
again.
I love that, and the music was great. That's going to be a regular thing now, and you started the trend, so...
Wow.
Thank you again, my brother. Pleasure having you here.
Appreciate
and I'm actually going to play that video for Casey, who's coming on next.
Amazing. Yeah, ask him if he remembers. It's the same day that he ran the New York Marathon.
I think he'll remember because I took a video of it, so I'll show it to him. So, cool. Thanks, Alex.
You're listening to Lips LA with Scott Lips.
Hey, guys. The show is brought to you today. Thursday's boots. Thursday's boots, as you know, the boots that I wear all the time at Thursday's Boots. If you don't know, and I think you guys should know, Thursday Boots is a bootstrap startup that makes the best handcrafted boots and sells them direct to consumer at some of the lowest markups in the footwear industry. They've got over 20,000 five-star reviews from real customers. My favorite boots, you guys are constantly seeing me talk about Thursday's Boots all the time. My favorite boots, I wear them all the time, constantly. You'll constantly see them in my Instagram photos. So check them out. Highest quality full grain leather, supple glove leather lining, gold standard for boots. And they are my favorite at Thursday's Boots. Check them out now. We're coming to you live from WeWork. Just had Alex on the show, and thanks for tuning in, guys.
Hi, this is Dennis Quaid, and I want to tell you about a new show I've produced that I know you're going to love. It's called The Pet Show, and well, it's a show about pets, dogs, cats, snakes, birds, and our relationship with these animals. It's the podcast with a purpose.
Listen to The Pet Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. In Lauren Lake's courtroom, there is no nonsense.
Step away when you hate.
But I just said I'm a baby.
Don't talk when I'm talking.
Just results.
Mr. Jackson, you are the father.
Live it, own it, be it. You see it?
Listen to Lauren Lake's Paternity Court on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.